Our gospel today is from the first chapter of Mark, beginning with the verse 4 on page 812 in your pew Bible. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. As we begin 2024, we enter today the season of Epiphany. And you'll notice the banner that was put up has the three kings or the three wise men coming to seek Jesus. And we put it up yesterday, and I asked Elaine, who created this banner, I said, "Well, where's baby Jesus?" And he says, "Well, you don't get to have baby Jesus because we're seeking him." That's a good theme, good thought. The seeking is the point of Epiphany. And not just seeking, but also finding and the light that comes to us by knowing Christ. That's what Epiphany is about. Like you hear that saying, "I've had an epiphany. I've had a wow, aha." And that's what this season of the year is all about. It's saying, "God, speak to me," and then taking that word, that message out into the world. So it's looking out, it's reaching out, it's realizing that God's purpose in Jesus is to save the world. And that's spoken of in the prophets. This is quoted in Matthew 12:18, but it's from the prophet Isaiah, where speaking about Jesus, it says this, "Here is my servant, whom I've chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight, and I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations." In the Christmas story that we read on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, God reached out to the outcasts, to the shepherds. They were the first to hear about Jesus being born, and they, you know, then told the good news, but they were Jews, but they were shepherds. And Epiphany, it reminds us that God reaches out to the Gentiles. These are the people that are outside of the Jewish faith. And as the scriptures that I just read says, he proclaims justice to the nations. It's not just to the Jewish people, but to every people. And the words in the scriptures that talk about nations actually is the word ethnos. And we think about that in context with missions, because a couple of the people that we support in our missions are Bible translators with the Wycliffe organization. And they go to different people groups. So even though, you know, the country of, say, Chad or something has a Bible in some of the languages, they would go to another people group, maybe a village, and translate the Bible into their native tongue. So we're called to reach out to all people. That's why our focus this month is on reaching out, specifically to celebrate, pray for, and empower those ministries that we support overseas and locally. Our ministries, 10% of all of our income are giving, the gifts given to our church, go directly to missions that we see as the hands and fingers of our ministry reaching out in ways that are more effective than for us to do it, because we couldn't do all these things. But we are so blessed to be able to reach out in support with other ministries. So this month, I want you to breathe. Breathe mission. In and out. That's how we serve. In is when we look at how God's relationship with us is, but also how we serve here within our church. We serve our Christian community. And out is taking the word out of here. So the inn was an example of what happened yesterday when 20 people showed up to help take down the Christmas decorations and get things prepared for today, or setting up communion for today, or ushering, or greeting, or teaching a class. The out is how we reach out with compassion and with the gospel. So breathe mission. Can you breathe with me? Do it again. In and out. You know, breathing is an amazing thing. I bet you didn't really think about your breath until I did that very thing. Because it just happens naturally. Unless you have asthma or you have a breathing condition, breathing is something that we don't even consciously think about. We just do it because that's what our bodies are meant to do. And you have to go in and out. You can't just hold your breath. You can try it swimming and see how far you get without coming up out of the water, but you can't do it forever. You have to breathe in and out. And so ministry is really reflected in that. We breathe in and we breathe out. But there's another aspect of that that's pretty cool. The word wind or the word spirit in the Bible can also be translated as breath or wind. In Greek, it's the word pneuma, and in Hebrew, it's the word ruach, which means breath or wind. The Spirit of God, the pneuma, it says, or the ruach, is hovering over the waters in creation. So that spirit, of that breath, is really amazing to think about when you breathe. Because if you think of the Holy Spirit being wind and breath, actually when you breathe in, you're breathing in God. You're breathing in God, His very Spirit within you. And so each breath literally is thinking about imagining God close to us, closer than the air that we breathe. And so there's a breath prayer that maybe you've heard of, or you could use the word Yahweh is the holy name of God, the unpronounceable name that the Jewish believers would never pronounce, and they would just say Adonai instead of trying to pronounce the holy name of God. But in your Bibles, when you see the word L-O-R-D, all caps, that's where the word Yahweh appears. And you can use the word Yahweh as a breath prayer like this. Yahweh, Yahweh. Try that. Yahweh, Yahweh. That's a prayer of asking God right into your very soul, into your midst. To breathe mission is to begin with breathing in, and then breathing out, and you have to breathe in before you breathe out. But breathing in is also realizing that God's involved in this. It's not just serving our neighbors or serving the world. It's connecting and being connected to God. You heard in the gospel the account of Jesus being baptized. And he went to John. He didn't have to be baptized. Obviously, he wasn't being baptized to have his sins forgiven because he had never sinned. He did so that it would validate John's ministry, and it's also the beginning of Christ's ministry. His public ministry was being baptized. It was in a public setting. And it says this about his baptism. It says he was coming up out of the water, and he saw the heavens torn open and a Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven that says, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased." The words God spoke over Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased," is really the same words that were spoken over you in your baptism when God claimed you as his son or daughter. In baptism, that's where it begins, we understand as Lutherans, because in baptism, we realize that, first of all, God claims us. He doesn't say, you know, go out and do good things, and if you're good enough, then you can be my kid. Then you can be a part of my family. It's the other way around. First, God loves us, claims us, calls us, and that gives us the strength and the energy to go out. To realize that we're beloved is really the first part of breathing mission. The story told by Brennan Manning of a Catholic priest, Edward Farrell, from Detroit, who went on a two-week summer vacation to Ireland to visit his relatives. His one living uncle was going to be celebrating his 80th birthday, and they got up on that great day together, and he and his uncle went for a walk above a lake, Lake Clarney in Ireland, and they stopped and watched the sunrise. It took about 20 minutes for the sun to rise, and they just stood there quietly, silently watching it. And then as the sun was rising, he noticed his uncle, Seamus, had this broad grin and even started to do kind of a little Irish jig. And he said to him, "Uncle Amos, you look very happy." And Seamus said, "I am." And Ed said, "Well, how come?" And his uncle replied, "Ah, me father is so very fond of me. My father is so very fond of me." And that story begs the question, do you honestly believe that God likes you? He has to love you. So it's not about being loved, because that's his character. His character is love. But do you also believe that he likes you? Could you answer about your relationship with God, my father, he's so very fond of me? That's where breathe mission begins. It's an attitude that reflects, first of all, the tenderness. If you have that attitude, you can be relaxed in God's presence. It gives you a serenity and a compassionate attitude toward yourself. That's a reflection of God's tenderness towards you. And that attitude prevails in what baptism means as we understand it. Our second reading today, Romans 6, is a classic reading on what baptism means. I'm going to share some of that. That we understand baptism as being identified with Christ as his son and daughter. We also know that in baptism our sins are washed away, so we're forgiven. But literally, the word baptism means drowned, drowning. And Paul says it this way, that, you know, just because we believe in Jesus, should we care about sinning anymore? He said, well, no, of course not. We wouldn't want to sin because that's what Christ died for. And it says, he says, don't you know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. So that's, you know, if you were to drown, you would die. But that's not what baptism is. It's not dying. It is dying. Dying to yourself, dying to sin. But then being raised to life in Christ. He says, therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So the old self is crucified. The old self is put to death. Our sinful self has been taken care of. And in baptism, we come up out of the waters, if you're immersed in baptism, or even if you're just sprinkled, as we do here in church. The water, it doesn't matter how much. It just matters that there's water. And that water washes, it claims us, and it puts off the old life, because that life gets drowned under the surface. Did any of you see the movie Jesus Revolution? One. A few, okay. It's really a great movie about this Jesus Revolution that happened in the 1970s. But there's a scene in the movie that is worth the movie, I think, is, what's his name? It's not Chuck Smith, the main pastor, but it's Greg Laurie, who became a great evangelist, and he is following the ministry, becomes a Christian under the Calvary Chapel's ministry in California. And they're baptizing people in this bay near L.A. And he's baptized, and he shows this image of him going under the water. And it's not just kind of a quick in and out. He's going down deep, and he keeps going down, down, and down. And then he slowly feels like he's coming back up, and there's a little bit of light there, and he's kind of struggling toward the surface, and then he comes out of the water. It's such a beautiful image of what baptism means. It's to put that dead, that old sinful self to death by drowning it and then coming up out of the water alive, new in Christ. So to breathe mission means first we need to drown. Drown our sinful self, being dead to sin, literally to drown it. And then you can float in the sea of forgiveness and grace like Uncle Seamus could. He knew his father's fondness for him. He could come up out of the water as a new creation in Christ. And maybe your baptism happened a long time ago. You don't have to get baptized again to feel that. You just got to know it because he claimed you back then, and he still holds on to you today. That we can say, as Seamus did, my father is so very fond of me. And we can go out now from that because we have something to share. We have something to tell other people that God our Father loves us. He likes us, and he likes you too, and he loves you too. That God is good. The song that we sang, The Goodness of God, there's a refrain or kind of a bridge part that we didn't sing that goes like this. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. Is running after me. We aspire here at Shepherd of the Hills to be a place where people experience good, to get to be the living church and become an active witness. We aspire to be a place where people experience good, get to be the living church and become an active witness. Experience good. I talked about this last summer, but we read the creation story, part of it, the beginning of it, where God creates the world in 6 days and rests on the seventh day. And after each day, when you read in Genesis 1, there's this great remark that God gives. It says something like, and God saw all that he had made, and he said, it was good. It was good. Now, in English, we kind of like to qualify our adjectives. And, you know, good, we say it was good. Is that it? Is that it, God? Is it only good? I mean, we think, well, good is like a B, right? It's not great or outstanding or awesome. It's just good. It's okay. Not great, but good. But the word in Hebrew, good, is a much bigger word than that, than we make it. The word in Hebrew is a profound wholeness. Good is what God is saying because it is complete. It's perfect. He made it exactly as he intended. So it's a fullness. It's everything you need and could ask for. So actually we could say it is good. Can you say that with me? Good. That's how God looks at his creation, looks at us. The song went, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been oh so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Breathing mission is to experience good. We're 7 days into 2024. And I hope that, I mean, I have some and I want to do it some more, is take stock in what happened in 2023 and look ahead to what I hope to happen in 2024. And one thing that John Maxwell said that's really true about how do we affect how we move forward in life, he says it this way, you will never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine. So it's not just doing it once. That doesn't change us. It's a daily practice. And breathing mission, as I've said, begins with God and you. Being in fellowship with God, and essential in my life and my ministry, has been having continued and regular daily time alone with God. Commonly, that's called the quiet time, but you can call it whatever you'd like. It's just really starting a time. I like to do it in the morning or when I go into my study at church, just having some time just to be with God before I get going on the emails and answering things and planning things. It's a time to be still. And I came recently upon a great book or resource that really helps people begin that process. It's called Be Still, A Simple Guide to Quiet Times. And I got the book and I thought this would be a great thing to study. Something we are going to have in 2024 is a prayer room right below this area, right below, well, about where you guys back there are sitting, Judy and the folks, right below you. There'll be a prayer room. And this would be a great book to study as a small group for prayer. But then I looked at the Right Now Media, and I found that book resource was made into a 5-session video. Do you guys have it back there? Amanda put it on the... okay, hold on a second. Pause. Thank you. Now, so I want you to watch this and think about, because you all have access to this Right Now Media just simply by logging in. It's free to you, and you could watch this. But this is a trailer about the 5 episodes. Be a great way to start this new year. Okay, go ahead. Thank you, Donna. Go for it.
Be still and know that I am God. It's an invitation that has echoed throughout history.
This regular encounter with God is what we're going to explore on this course. Be Still, A Simple Guide to Quiet Times.
We need to create space in our lives for regular encounter, the space to walk, talk, and listen with God. In the quiet time, we allow His heart to touch our hearts. This was the original plan, people encountering God. It's this place where I reflect with awe and reverence and wonder.
I realize that for me it works a certain way, but I'm sure it works differently for each one of us.
You talk about an uninterrupted 2 hours. I don't have an uninterrupted 2 minutes usually.
What if there is value in unseen actions and hidden places?
Seeds germinate in darkness. A baby develops for 9 months hidden in the womb.
There are some things that He's trying to say to us in the quieter place that prepares us to go out and do the things that He's asked us to do.
Just as we are invited in, He also invites us out to the world to share His love with those around us. Father, lead each one of us into a real desire to meet with You more. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, I would encourage you to check that out. I pinned it. If you log into the Shepherd of the Hills page, it's called Good Ones. I put a few videos there, the good ones that I would encourage you to watch. And this Be Still is one of those, and just really would encourage you to do that. It's easy to do, and a great way to grow your prayer life. So, breathe mission is to experience good, because God is good, and He loves us, He likes us, and He to know first your belovedness and your purpose, that you are sent out as one of God's missionaries to the world. Let us pray. So God, we thank You that You never give up on us. As we turn the calendar to 2024, we're reminded that this new year, even though it's just a day from last year, or a week, as the case may be today, it's really good for us to consider what we could do, how we could grow, and how our relationship with you could be strengthened as we move into 2024. So help each one of us to strengthen our quiet time. Maybe we already have a good rhythm and we don't need another video or another course on it. But for those that are looking for ideas or how to start, being more prayerful, being more attentive to you, Lord, we pray that this resource and the things that you would show to us would help us to grow in you, to live in you. We thank you that you are full of love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.